This is Don't Panic, episode number 402, recorded June 10th, 2025. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Don't Panic, the podcast that talks about things. I'm Sean Jennings. I'm going to do my best Craig Federighi impression here. This is simply the best episode we've ever released. Now, to tell us more, here's Colby. Annoying transition. Colby walks in out of frame.
Yeah. Excellent. The one that really stuck in my head was the golf cart thing, where it's like...
Yeah, Craig gets to do all the fun stuff. He gets the F1 car, he gets the golf cart, he gets the music, and then it's like, oh, and here's, you know, Stacy from Accounts Receivable, and she just sort of walks in and...
Nice. Sean, I made you start recording because I thought this was funny enough to talk about on the show, but I was at work yesterday watching the presentation, like in the, you know, the little picture in picture view. I kept missing things because I was trying to like build something that I was working on my computer, and it would like go along, and then my entire computer would crash. It's so annoying. It really interrupted my WWDC keynote consumption. And it happened once, and I was like, that was weird. And I wasn't really sure what it was. It could have been anything. But then I turned the computer back on and restarted everything and like logged into everything again. I work in a big company now, so you have to log into everything all of the time. Mm-hmm. Always be logging into stuff. And then I started up the keynote again. I got back to what I was doing. I ran the command, and I was like, and it started happening again. It was really weird because it was like, it wasn't all at once. It was like, parts of macOS would start crashing like one by one, and not like the apps, right? Like Slack was still there, but all of a sudden, like you couldn't do like the four finger swipe to like get to your Windows, and you couldn't like tab over to another app, and then like the menu bar just went away. It was like, what is happening? And then the computer crashed. So I missed like several chunks of the keynote, which I'm sure we'll discover which ones they were when we get through the list. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Well, listen, the good news is, Colby, pretty soon you'll be able to let Apple Intelligence build whatever it is you were building so you can focus on the important thing, the keynote.
Exactly.
No problem.
That's the dream.
Yes, that's very unfortunate, actually. My Mac was a week or two ago did the same thing where like the apps were 100% fine, but everything else was melting down. Which as a Windows user, I know very well.
Right.
It was odd to see it on a Mac.
Yeah. There was a time when that was more a part of the lifestyle. Like you'd get it was like the kernel panic screen, and like the whole computer would crash, and there was this very specific like black screen with like text in different languages that would come up.
I don't even know what's the I know there's you know, on Windows obviously you have Control Alt Delete to bring up the sort of active processes to force quit things. What's the key command for force quit on a Mac? I've never even used it.
Great question. It's Option Command Escape.
Option Command Escape. Watch, I shut down my whole computer. Oh, there it is. Okay. Force quit Chrome. Click. Okay. Well, there you go. I've never had to use it before.
Yeah.
So
you can also do it from Activity Monitor is the thing that's more like the Control Alt Delete from Windows. Like there's way more stuff going on in there, and you could also force quit things. But
well, we've got a lot of activity tonight to monitor because, Colby, we are covering our 12th WWDC, which is crazy to think about. They mentioned in the presentation talking about the new design, they said the last time we did the we updated the design was iOS 7, which was the first iOS we ever talked about on the show. That was our first ever episode.
I was thinking about that today because I was listening to a different podcast, and they were talking about installing the beta of iOS whatever, like 72.26. Is that what we're at? And I did that with iOS 7, and like my phone crashed all the time. Like I would get a phone call and the phone would crash. So I'm not going to do it this time is the moral of the story.
Very smart.
Kind of keep it.
I mean, who knows? We're going to go through. Maybe there must have features you must have today.
Or yeah, maybe
probably some you can wait till fall.
Right. Maybe I missed something important in the keynote that I just can't wait for.
Yeah, we got a great list here. So for folks who may not be familiar, WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference for Apple, it's where they get all developers together and they announce all the new software for the coming year. They do their hardware in the fall. We have covered this every single year for the last 12 years, and this year is no exception. The keynote was on Monday. I have gone through. I'm going to share my screen here so the folks at home can look along. Okay, allow. Okay. Let's see if this works. Sure. I have here a list. Now, I wouldn't say this is every single thing they announced, but it's the ones I felt were notable enough to bring up. And for the first time, I've created these categories. Now, these categories, Colby, can change as we go through. All right. We want to create new ones, change them. I have sort of your good to great, game changer, pretty cool, unimpressed, bad idea. And then I have some more complex feelings. Not sure yet, underrated, overrated, huh? Or who cares? You know, because we're complex guys.
We are. There's a lot of nuance in Don't Panic's coverage of this, our 12th WWDC.
Yeah, I think 12 years ago we were like good, bad, but now we've really come a long way.
Right, that used to be you know, feels good, feels bad used to be the official Colby scale for things.
Remember, that was a much simpler time back then. 2013.
Boy,
yep. So we're going to go through in chronological order what they announced. We're going to talk about it, put it into a category. If you're watching us live right now on our Twitch channel or Facebook or YouTube, you can comment along if you have any opinions on our opinions. But let's start with the first thing they announced, Colby. I know this is the one you're just so psyched about. F1 the movie. Brad Pitt and Apple Films have combined to create this action thriller directed by the guy who directed Top Gun Maverick. It is fast, but it is something that they promoted right at the offset. Are you excited for F1, the movie?
No. I do all my TV watching on an Apple TV, so I was aware of F1, the movie, well before this. I just don't care. What do you think?
I think the funniest thing to me about F1 the movie is that F1 is the name of the racing company. They use the F1 logo as the logo for the movie. That would be like calling it
the Lego movie.
Yeah, basically, but it's even more generic than that, cuz it's like calling it like NFL the movie.
Right.
You know, and that maybe if anything bothers me the most is just how uninspired the name is. No, I have no interest in seeing F1, the movie. I find it very funny that it will be in theaters, but I think the streaming company making a movie that probably only looks good in a theater is very funny to me. I hope they do. The one thing that I would get excited about is if they did a Vision Pro version. Where you're like in the racing sea and it's the space with
look around
the whole thing. Like that would be cool. No, I don't need, I have no interest in F1 in general. I don't have much interest in Brad Pitt. I'm sure it's a perfectly fine movie, but Apple spent a shit ton of money on it, so they've got to promote it. Is there a category we think it fits in?
Unimpressed. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't care. Oh, maybe who cares?
Who cares? Let's put in and who cares, especially at a technology announcement. I think that's really fair. I agree. I did see, it's not on my list here, and I don't know if you saw it, Apple put up a chart about Apple TV, and of course, you know, everyone talking about views and ratings and minutes watched, and Apple's like, and for the fourth year in a row, we're number one on highest rated originals, like in quality. And I'm like,
cool.
Okay. It's
their originals are pretty good. They're very like there's not a big spread. Like none of them are horrible. And like none of them are the greatest show you've ever seen, but many of them are pretty good. And like, even the bad ones are like still better than like a lot of the trash on Netflix. But yeah.
I always enjoy the competition between Amazon and Apple for who can have the most expensive, least memorable shows. Like I see
like
it, like
the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it's or like Citadel, which was like one of the most expensive things ever made, and nobody watched it, and it's already disappeared. I feel like Apple, they show like, oh, did you know like Jason Momoa like plays a Hawaiian warrior in a show that costs $500 million? And I'm like, I didn't know that.
Wow,
very funny.
What was Citadel?
Citadel was it was a spy thriller that was on there, but the reason it was so expensive it was the Russo brothers, who were the guys behind all the Marvel movies. They basically get blank checks. It had a budget of $300 million for 6 episodes. One of the most expensive TV series ever made. They've tried to do spin-offs, anything to try and get their money back. And it was just a total bust and a massive money loss for Amazon.
Nice.
And I mean, look at this. Doesn't this just scream like something you want to watch?
Yeah. I remember seeing this in the Amazon, you know, recommended for you this week, and feeling uninterested.
Yeah, maybe one of these days I'll do like a real or fake quiz for like streaming shows that like sound like they exist but actually don't. Anywho, the other thing at the top of the announcement, Apple Intelligence. It's going to come up in a bunch of places throughout the things we talk about. Two things up front that they really pushed. One was they said right up front, I'm paraphrasing, no Siri updates. Siri is still the same, and we know it didn't go great the first time, and we've got more coming, and hold on to your seatbelts, and that was about it. Which I guess it's good that they half admitted it, but at the same time, I guess that we'll talk about all the intelligence stuff throughout the whole thing, but I didn't see anything here that I was like, huh, I've never seen that before. Huh, that's totally unique. Or, huh, that really pushes the envelope in artificial intelligence. It was a lot of...
Yeah, Siri. Man. It feels like... didn't Amazon have kind of an Alexa flop recently, too, where, like, they promised some stuff that, like, didn't work out? Like, maybe... Like, why is it... Is it... I mean, maybe it's just harder than it seems. Like, I don't super understand because... I mean, it seems like you can talk to ChatGPT right now. You know, you can go into ChatGPT and blabber with it. Like, why can't I blabber with the Siri AI? But, you know, if everyone's failing at it, maybe there is some unintuitive hurdle that's there. It's not their fault.
I just think AI inherently isn't particularly useful today. And so I guess it's more of an, it's, if they hadn't overpromised it last year, it probably wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
But they showed off stuff they weren't ready to deliver. That's more the problem than how good the AI is for me. Is if they said, hey, we're trying it out, we're working on it, we're going to figure it out. That's fine. But I think the one thing that all the AIs are doing is conversational AI. That's huge for the average person.
Right.
And the fact that Siri can't do that in a way they promised us last year, I think is their biggest problem, not their AI in general.
Yeah, it's probably true. But I don't know. Siri's been kind of a dumbass for, you know, ever.
So. Yeah, I'm sure it's hard. Yeah. You know, but I don't know. I put it under bad idea for no new Siri.
I agree.
Because I think they need to do that.
Yeah. Sean, isn't there an AI that's a big part of your life? Do you have an AI companion?
His name is Charles. He's a cat. no, are you? But I don't. Are you referring to something specific I'm not picking up?
No, like, do you use like ChatGPT or like Claude or one of the?
I do use ChatGPT. I've messed around with it mostly around things like writing and image generation. Never in a like have a long conversation. It's more just do this and then it does it.
Yeah.
But I am seeing it pop up in more and more places for sure. And I am very of two minds about it. I go on for hours about my feelings because I really am very split. Because it's both interesting, unique, and useful, but also the dumbest people alive are very excited about it. And that's usually a red flag of this is a bad thing. It's right. Crypto and NFTs right. And all that all over again.
Right. I was going to say they pivoted straight from NFTs to this.
Yeah, except I actually could see how this might be useful. Which annoys the crap out of me, which is the other sort of AI thing they announced up front, which is the foundation models framework. And the reason I thought this was interesting is because this is allowing apps via API to use the on-device language model that Apple's using for all their stuff to power their apps, which means they don't have to go off-device potentially to run AI-related activities. On the one hand, I think that's really unique to Apple. And I give them credit because a lot of this stuff I've seen before. I haven't seen that before. And I do wonder what the benefits are. My concern is how good is that model? Because if you said to me, Sean, good news, we've opened up our Maps database. You can build any map app you want on iPhone. And I'm like, but your Maps database is not that good. And it scares the crap out of me that this is not a good model, especially compared to some of the other ones. I don't know if you had any thoughts as a developer yourself.
I mean, I think not going off device is kind of nice for practical reasons because, you know, you're not internet bound or whatever. Also, I think it's free, right? Like,
yep.
You know, if you're using ChatGPT or whatever, like you're paying, you know, in an app, right? As a developer, you're like paying for per token or something. You know, I don't remember exactly what the payment scheme is. But you know, if it's good enough for something, I think it like means something. Also, you know, like anything else, it like gets better, right? Things it's not good at today, like they'll catch up with the ChatGPTs of the world, like in a year, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever. Such is the way of things. But yeah, I think it, you know, I don't know.
I kind of want to put it in not sure yet.
Yeah, sure. That's fair. It sounds cool, but it was pretty light on details.
Yeah. And again, I just think because Apple allows you to integrate with ChatGPT and other models so easily, I wonder if people will just say, the Apple one's actually not that good. I'm just going to use the other ones. I don't know. It's a fair question. Now, before we get into any specifics here, one other major thing they announced, we talked about our first ever iOS covered was iOS 7. We were just at iOS 18 last year, and they've done away with version numbers, essentially, because they were all different. We were on with Vision OS and iPad and iPhone and all these sorts of things. They're now all going to be version 26, Mac OS 26, iOS 26, based on the year that the software is being developed for. So we're a year ahead, technically. It's 4.26. What do you think, Colby? What are your feelings on version numbers?
I know this isn't done, but like this made me think, like, what would happen? Like, maybe sometime they should just have a year where they like don't do a new version 1 year and just like, I don't know, fix bugs or something. That was where my head went, was like, oh God, like I know in practice they do this every year, right? Like there's always a new version every year. But does this, codify that? Like, will there always and forevermore be a new version of the OS every year? Sounds like it. But I think it's fine. It's less arbitrary than, iOS, you know, 18 or whatever we'd be up to.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that they're streamlined between all the different OSs. So now you can say all my stuff's on 26. I'm all caught up versus not knowing which one is the most up to date. But, you know, that's an extremely interesting point I hadn't considered. You've basically now required yourself to do something for every OS every year because they can't get out of sync because you can't have some on 27 and some on 26. And so that is interesting. I don't know of other companies that necessarily do it that way. I mean, I guess it could be 26.2 or something, but that would be like crazy to do that beyond that into 27 and 28, but doing versions of 26. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they do it. But yeah, that is a hell of a box to put yourself in.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess if it really comes down to it, what's stopping them from doing one of the version changes where it's just like security updates? Probably nothing.
Or they might end up, honestly, at some point they might just drop the numbers like when it just became the new iPad.
Right.
They can kind of do whatever they want.
Right. It's iOS. You don't talk about the number.
Where do you think this one lands?
I don't know.
It
seems
I like
fine.
It's all good. All right, now let's get into some actual feature on-device stuff. Starting with the biggest announcement, we talked about this design having been very similar since iOS 7 all those years ago. We have a new design language, Liquid Glass. We're talking about layering glass, lots of clear things where you can see underneath them that brings the color out underneath them. Multiple layerings of glass. You've got new icons when you do the tinting and the coloring. They look a little bit different. You've got different pop-up menus and you know, things aren't like locked to the bottom of the screen. Everything sort of floats a little bit following the curves of the display. Definitely interesting. What do you what was your immediate reaction on Liquid Glass?
I mean, it looks cool. Like, all the individual buttons look cool, and like the, I don't know, things being over other things, and like the lock screen, like animation and stuff. It looks pretty cool. I think some of this stuff like looks kind of weird. Like when you see like, I don't know, I'm just scrolling through some Verge article and there's like, you know, control center over the home screen, and like, it looks kind of, it feels kind of like busy. You know, but I don't know. Maybe that's the point. Maybe I bet it feels a lot different when you, look at this. I bet it feels a lot different when things are moving too. Like, I feel like that's something that doesn't come through. Like, yeah, like the pictures under the menus are all moving. I do like that, like, super, you know, the detail menu thing that they show. I think that's going to be so nice. For so many things that like really just need to show you some words for what the stupid button does. I don't know. What do you think?
Like a lot of things, some things I like, some things I don't. I think when you go to sort of see through icons, I think it's going to make the whole device feel lighter. I think it's going to make it feel bigger, which I like. I totally agree. I think the menus are great. I think I'm going to like the floating buttons more so than the stuff locked into the corners. I think my biggest disappointment is that I don't think they went far enough. And like, I paused it here on the screen, like they kind of just glassified a lot of the existing design elements. And I kind of wish their whole thing was like, we haven't touched this in over a decade. And then, but we still left a lot. Like, I would have liked new icons. Like, I think they could have done some fun, cool stuff with it. I think they could have pushed the envelope a little bit farther. At the end of the day, my biggest question, and probably if I put this into a category, it would be not sure yet. This is a total user interface thing, and until you use it, I think it's really hard to say for sure if it's any good.
Yeah.
I'm going to be cautiously optimistic that it's not a disaster. What's interesting to me is I think this is clearly an iPhone first experience. but they're bringing it to all the devices. My bigger concern is probably on Mac, to be honest, because how are all of these elements going to work on a mouse and keyboard type device? Will it be too broad? Will it be too small and you won't notice? I'm not sure. So cautiously optimistic is where I would be.
Are there like screenshots of Mac stuff? Like,
it was in the, you know what? I should just have the entire announcement up here so I can just scrub to it when we're talking about stuff. That would be really smart. But yes, they did in the Mac OS for Tahoe. Yeah. So here's like an example of, you know, again, it's all the, it's everything's curved, everything floats, everything's glass.
Yeah.
even the icons down here, you can see. There's no menu bar anymore. The stuff just kind of floats
it's
up
just there. My question about this is like where, you know, I feel like they're circumventing the question by having their windows like not full screen and kind of like in the middle. But like, how does this interact with like apps? Like, is that stuff like over your app or can the app still not go into that part of the screen? Or like, what's the deal? I have a lot of questions. I don't hate it.
All right. Cool.
I think I agree with you. It does. I feel like I get it. I get it on the phone. Like I can imagine what it's like on the phone. On the Mac, I can't quite imagine. You know, like I see the screenshot. I'm like, okay. But I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I mean, when I think back, we talked about this back in the iOS 7 days. There was a lot of stuff they did in iOS 7 that was not good, and it took them a couple years to really fix it and clean it.
That's true.
So the idea that this is going to be a slam dunk on day one, I think, is kind of far-fetched. But I give them credit for trying, and I don't think it's going to be... I think to some of their past design, the like green felt game center back in the day and some of those like aggressive design. I don't think it's going to be, if you don't like it, I don't think it's going to be hard to just ignore it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think it, I like the additional texture and stuff. Like, I don't know. I feel like this isn't an original take, but I do think the like, super flat iOS 7-esque like design aesthetic has gone like everywhere, and it's like it's really quite boring.
Yeah. Oh no, I agree with you, but I also wonder, part of the announcement was they were really pushing up front, you mentioned the lock screen, but they were really pushing, like, you know, when you like tilt your phone, the glass effects like are shiny and do things. and I do wonder if that's going to be really annoying.
Mm.
And that might get toned down or turned off over time.
Actually, the thing I thought was the weirdest in this whole presentation is the like clock. Like the clock text
growing and shrinking.
That gets taller. It's very weird.
Yeah. Thankfully, things you can turn off.
Right.
Where they're like, we designed a font that stretches really good. And I'm like, okay. That's super cool.
This kangaroo picture is weird, too. Fully on.
Yeah. It's a lot of the kind of gimmicky stuff.
Right.
But all in all, interesting. More to come. We'll report back in the fall when it's on our devices.
Right.
Continuing on here, there wasn't a ton in CarPlay. CarPlay is also getting the design, liquid glass. One of the things I did want to mention is the addition of live activities that will show up on your screen. In addition to widgets, developers can now build widgets that will live again on your CarPlay screen. I am pretty excited about this. Live activities, not so much. I don't really use a ton of live activities. But the idea, the ability to do specific widgets with specific data that lives on that car screen, depending on how developers use it, I think is super valuable because there are certain things I would definitely want kind of permanently hanging out up there.
Yeah, totally. The weather, like the iOS weather, like it's going to rain in 10 minutes and this is for how long thing. That would be great in the car.
Yeah, or again, and we'll talk about shortcuts later, but you can create custom stuff, and there's just, you can, I think you can have a lot of fun with it. In addition to some live activities where, you know, you're tracking a flight as you're driving somewhere. I mean, there's just some fun things you can do. So any opportunity to enhance CarPlay, because I love CarPlay. So
same.
That's a winner.
Same.
I put that in pretty cool. Call screening and hold assist. These are two new phone features. Starting with call screening, we get lots of unknown number calls. Apple is rolling out a feature where it will not ring you if you get an unknown number. Instead, it will answer in the background, ask the person to say who they are and what they want. They'll say, "Hey, it's me, Colby, and I want to see what you're doing for dinner." That's my Colby impression. And then it'll put Colby on hold. It'll send the user a voicemail, essentially the transcription of what Colby said, and they can choose to deny the call or answer it. And if they answer it, they'll pick up and talk to Colby. Okay,
I'm into it. I get. Mostly spam phone calls and like some small percentage of phone calls that I need to answer. And this sounds like very helpful. Especially like it's limited to like unknown numbers, right? Like it's not going to do it if you know who the person is. Yeah. I think it's kind of great. Honestly.
Maybe my favorite thing about it is not only is it easy for the user, it's not rude or intrusive for the person calling, because if it's somebody calling who's important and I want them to respect me and not feel like I hung up on them because they were an unknown number, it's kind of a polite way to go about it and say, "Hey, just what do you want Sean for?" And you say, "Hey, you know, pick up, I'm here, let's chat." I think it's a great it's great from both ends, which I appreciate.
Yeah, no, it's like you know, with like the house stuff and whatever, being an adult, like once in a while, you do get a phone call from a person who you aren't expecting that you actually need to talk to them. And it sounds,
you know what,
it sounds like a nice middle ground.
Yeah. You know what I've been getting lately? I've been getting the reverse, where it is people I want to avoid, but I think the random number is important, and so I answer it and I say, "Oh shit, it's that guy I don't want to talk to."
Right.
That is going to be extremely valuable,
right?
Because there are certain people I don't want to put in my contacts, but I also, like, you know, need to answer when they call. So hopefully it'll avoid the
Now here's a question for you, Sean. Imagine yourself in a world where your phone has done this. It's screened a call for you, picked it up. The person has said, "Oh, I'm such and such. I'd like to talk to Sean about blah, blah, blah." And you don't want to talk to them. Are you going to feel bad about declining their call?
No, because honestly, that's the same as sending them to voicemail now, right? Because I didn't initiate the fact that the device asked who they were and screened them. The phone did that automatically. True. And so it would be like if I'm in a meeting or something and can't take a call, I just hit decline, even if I know who they are. And again, one of the nice things, when the fact that this is Apple and not like one app some people have, is that we're all going to get used to it very quickly. This will be pretty widely available on day one.
Yeah.
And I think it will be like voicemail, where now it's like, yeah, of course I send an unknown number to voicemail, and if they need me, they'll leave a voicemail. It's the same thing. If they need me, they'll get screened.
Yeah. It is kind of weird that, like I guess there's still the worst case where, like, your phone is out of service or something and the call doesn't get to you. But, like, why do we use voicemail at all? Like, you know, like, the phone can, like, pick up the phone and record audio. Like, why isn't it, like, happening on the phone? I guess this is that kind
of. Well, to be fair, Google Voice did this a decade ago. Right. So it's not a new idea. I'm just glad it's built into the phone. I'm gonna throw this under underrated.
I think it's cool.
I think it could be a game changer. Now, hold assist, I think it's cool. I'm a little less jazzed about. It's the idea that you're waiting on hold. Apple will listen and identify that as hold music, you know, you hit the button and you can walk away, and in the background it will listen. And as soon as the hold stops and the person picks up, hello, operator, you will be able to, it'll transcribe what that person says to you, just like in call screening, and you can hit the button to answer, to pick up, and respond to the person. Colby, how often are you on hold these days? I feel like I'm not on hold that much.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I was on hold recently. Oh, I was on hold recently because we were talking about this before the show. We got a construction loan for part of our house project, and only local banks give construction loans. And so we had to get this loan from like a Rhode Island only bank. And I was on hold with the Rhode Island only bank because I have to set up a checking account with them where the money will be deposited. And it was excruciating. Like, setting up a checking account with them was truly excruciating. I think because they assume you're going to come to the bank, but like, I don't live there right now. So going to the bank was not accessible. So we tried to do it through their like weird, obviously Salesforce based like online bank flow, and it just didn't work several times. But in any case, I was on hold, and their hold was so annoying because the music would play for like 10 seconds, and then a voice would come on like almost immediately. Yes. And say like, you know, we value, you're a valued customer, blah, blah, blah. Wait times are longer than usual right now. But it was 10 seconds of music, and then it would play this message, and it did that over and over and over again. It's like, I get it. Like, I'd rather listen to the music than hear this again. But my litmus for a hold assist will be like, if it can deal with that, right? Yeah, because like, can it figure out that this is the pre-recorded message and not a person? Because if it's like doing that every 10 seconds, and hold assist is like, oh my God, someone's on the phone. Cause like every hold message does that now. Like, even if there's more music, there's still a voice that comes on and says like, oh, you know, you could be doing this on the website. What are you wasting your time here for?
Did you know that most common issues can be solved by visiting our website?
Exactly.
You know, I do have to say, sometime go on hold with Home Depot. They're very funny because, first of all, their hold music is that Home Depot thing, ding, 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 you know, their song. And then they have the guy come on and talk, but they have one loop of the same message they play over and over. At the Home Depot, we're here to help you get projects done faster, blah, blah, blah. Like 10 seconds goes by. At the Home Depot, we're here to help you get projects done faster, another 10 seconds. At Home Depot, that's very maddening. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. I think this is a little more, it'll be interesting. It'll be, I don't know what category it falls into, but I do think this is a time we'll tell one. I have a feeling companies are going to figure out how to work around this.
Yes. Yeah, not sure yet is probably the...
And by the way, the one other thing I will say is, Colby, I'm not surprised with your banking problems, considering the state of Rhode Island is the home to all financial crimes.
yeah, you know, okay. It's a place.
Gotta hit my friends in Rhode Island. All right, messages. Some updates for messages in general, and group messages specifically, kind of taking some features from your Facebook Messenger, your WhatsApp, the ability to add polls to chat, the ability to add custom backgrounds to chat. And one other thing is now messages will be filtered by default. So if you get messages from unknown numbers, they will get sent to a separate inbox that you can do by hitting the filter button. However, Apple claims with Apple Intelligence, things like restaurant reservations or two-factor authentication codes will float to the top. They won't get stuck in that filtered inbox. You can also whitelist numbers to go to the regular inbox so they aren't in. I agree with your strong enthusiasm. Polls and backgrounds don't really do anything for me. I guess that's neat. But the filtering is just a unbelievable slam dunk. I don't know about you. It drives me crazy. I'm like, I delete. I know some people who just leave them in there. I delete the junk constantly.
Yeah.
And to have that is a big win.
I used to delete the junk, but like 2 or 3 years ago, it got the better of me and I gave up. Like there's too many junk. There's too many two-factor codes. And like, you know, I don't care if the two-factor codes go to the secondary tab, because like, I'll know they're there. Plus half the time, you know, it does the auto thing anyways, where it like, you know, you fill it from the keyboard autocomplete, which is amazing. This is great. This is definitely one of the things I missed when my computer crashed, because I would have been so jazzed about it. Yeah. I saw polls, but I didn't see the filtering thing. But this is awesome. I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, here's the example on the video, where they show that those sort of junky randos will now be in a special filtered box.
Beautiful.
From unknown senders and spam. So a little more email-y, if you will.
Yeah, it's necessary now. Like, text spam is real. Like, get it out of there. Shut it down.
What was the one I got? Yesterday, random number. We should get steak for lunch.
I've been getting a lot of those where it's like, it's obviously some sort of AI trap, right? Like... like if you respond, it'll be talking you into Venmoing it like $1 million or something, but sending bitcoins.
We're too smart for that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about live translation. This was announced, live translation between languages and a bunch of the Apple products, in messages, in FaceTime, real time as people are talking. It's not only translating on screen, but a voice will say the translation out loud on the call, with an API that can be integrated to other apps. How do we feel about live translation?
It seems cool, but too embarrassing to be the first person to use. Like, I'll use this after other people have done the work of being awkward and it becomes normal. What do you think?
I should say this is not an intentional thing. I don't talk to anyone in other languages on a regular basis.
True.
So this to me, this falls under like a does not apply. for Colby, I'm going to put it under late adopter.
There you go.
It does. It looks cool. I hope it works. I think it's a cool feature. The live translation on video, I think, is really neat, and the way they showed it, where it was not only showing it on the screen, but it would kind of say it out loud and wait for you to the voice to say it. It seemed very natural in terms of how to do that. So, and I do think it's nice that apps can pull into the API. Apple's been doing translation for a long time. I'm going to assume their database is pretty good on that. And so I think it'll be good. I don't really see any downsides. So like you said, you just got to make sure it works. But in theory, as promised, it's pretty good.
Yes, sir.
Colby, I'm going to think you're excited about this one. Ooh. I could be wrong. Former Foursquare mayor himself, former Swarm enthusiast.
There's no former about it. I continue to be.
I thought they went out of, they're still around.
No, they got rid of the Foursquare city guide, but you can, the check-in, like Swarm still exists.
That's nuts.
Yeah. In fact, I met several new people at my new job who are also Swarm enthusiasts. So I have some new Swarm friends, which is great.
Well, I'm very happy you met all three users in the world. I do think, though, I'm dying to hear the Colby opinion when this comes out. Visited places and maps. Mm. Apple Maps, if you give it permission, will track everywhere you go. And it will automatically, if it notices you go to the same place multiple times, or if it's a specific restaurant or store, it'll mark the history that you had been there. Let me pull up what that looks like. There you go, your visits. And so they will, kind of like how your photos are categorized and organized by time and category, you can do the same. I believe you can write comments on your visits, search through them using Apple Intelligence, and they're encrypted, of course. So certainly the closest thing we've had to a locations collector, and it makes sense because it kind of it'll just work automatically once you give it permission.
Right. There is some appeal to this. The I don't know if it still does, but I think Swarm or Foursquare used to have this where you could turn on like always on location and like retro check into things. But, you know, obviously it's weird to have someone, you know, tracking your location and obviously sending you ads based on it. So this, there's some appeal to this. And like mostly what I like Swarm for is to have the history of all the places I've gone.
Absolutely.
To. You know, like when you go back to a place that you went before and it's like, oh, what was that? I remember going to this restaurant with the noodles or something.
Well, that I'm curious, you know, they didn't get into a lot of detail. And but just looking at this, like some of these have comments under them. And so I'm wondering if you can attach images or other information. I'm just curious how deep they let you go in this. You know, it says, yeah, right here, you know, enjoyed the wings, but I don't know if that's a review from a third party site. I'm not sure, but I'm curious how this builds out.
Yeah, me too.
For sure. Where would you rank this?
I'm going to say pretty cool.
I agree.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a try.
We have some wallet updates, digital IDs, obviously, driver's licenses are allowed in 9 states right now, but they're going to be rolling out passport support, for everyone in the country who has a passport. While it won't replace your physical passport, you can create a digital ID that will work for domestic flights, TSA, as well as other, specific needs domestically, it's just not internationally, but that is interesting.
Even less of a reason for me to make that real ID appointment at the RMV.
I know. I have not done mine. I fly with my passport. I've been doing that for years. I have no intention of doing it anytime soon.
I have the passport card. Like who? Yeah, that's a real ID. Yeah.
Why bother? They also added in flight tracking, mirroring some of the features that we love in our top app, Flighty, as well as order tracking, not only for Apple Pay orders, but it will also scrape your emails. I'm assuming if you use the built-in mail app to have all your order tracking in one place right in the wallet.
Dope. I always thought it was weird that you would get random online orders would show up in your Apple wallet. Maybe this will feel less weird.
Like I said, I don't know. Do you use the default mail app?
I do actually recently. Maybe in the last year, I just gave up on the one I was using. I was using like Spark or something.
Yeah.
But I have like, you know, there are all those there. I feel like there have always been like Gmail only ones that seem kind of nice. But I have like the one non Gmail, like I have the Fastmail account that I use and I have a Gmail. So I need both. And it's like Apple Mail's not good, but it's fine.
Yeah, that's one I'm surprised they haven't put a little more. Work into. They really take it for granted. They update the Photos app every year with stuff I don't want. But the mail app has not changed.
It's exactly the same. The thing that kills me about the mail app is like, depending on like the inbox, like the shortcut actions will be different. And it drives me bonkers. I think I kind of fixed it. Like, I think you can go into the settings and figure it out. But like when I set it up, it was different and it was not easy to make it the same. And I don't understand why. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of a glowing sign of a terrible app when you say, I have to go into the settings and figure it out. Right. Not encouraging. Let's see. Next up, we have the Games app. New app alert. It is the Games app, the center host for all your games. It will have the full arcade library in it, so you can download games from there. And other games you've downloaded with some continue playing options, some promotion of other games. You'll be able to launch games from right within it. They will have controller support. They will have challenges where you can challenge your friends to challenges, which there's an API for. And all part of the Game Center API. And that's really all I have to say about the game apps. To me, this is a complete nothing burger.
You're not a big Game Center user, Sean.
I thought Game Center was depreciated. I didn't realize. Do I have friends in Game Center?
I don't know.
Actually, to be totally honest, I never game on my phone. Like, ever. Not a single one. I've given up childish things. Yeah, I think it's fine. I'm more interested in... because I believe, don't quote me on this, I could be wrong, Games App is also coming to Mac OS. That's more interesting to me, and how it's going to integrate with desktop games. Mm. But it's just a collection house for all your games. Is anyone ever on planet Earth going to do a Games App challenge? No.
Only by accident.
Yeah, but someday you're going to get an alert, and it's going to be, you've been challenged. And you're going to be like, what the fuck is this? This can't be right.
Yep. Unimpressed.
Unimpressed. Visual intelligence for your screen. Another AI feature. You'll be able to take a screenshot and use Apple Intelligence to have it say what's in the screenshot you took. You can do it now with the camera. Now you can do it with the screenshot. I love the only AI demo they ever do is like, well, you can take a picture of this thing and buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that,
okay.
That is my thoughts exactly. Like, really? That's what this is for?
Yeah. Now, the interesting angle for me is, again, API apps are able to integrate into this. So you can tap... you know, when it analyzes the image, you can hit Google or Etsy, or they give a bunch of examples, ChatGPT. Hmm. I like that because I'm curious if there are app-specific things that people can have ideas for if you can analyze an image and say, you know, take the text out of this image and put it in an email, or, you know, what is this a picture? What bird is this? And it's a bird app. You know, I'm curious how the API will work. I do like that angle, but the default uses for it are just like
stupid,
super lame.
Yeah, I agree with that. I used to have this like plant identifier app, right? Like the same thing. Like if that could be turned inside out, where it's just really easy to take the picture and like, you know, it would identify the plant without having to like go into their crappy app and do it.
Yeah,
that would be great. Maybe overrated.
Yeah, I like that. I think a lot of that, you know, they did that where, you know, remember when that was like, oh, you can take a little part of a picture out and make it a sticker, or
oh yeah.
You can like copy and paste text out of pictures. And it's like, I guess that's cool, but I've literally never done that.
I've done the sticker one, the picture sticker one some, but it was mostly a thing I did when it came out and not something I've done.
That's what's so funny. I literally forgot stickers were a thing until we just talked about it right now. Colby, that got us through iOS alone. And we're coming up on the hour mark. If you want to keep going, we can keep going. Otherwise, we have a great list here to save until next week.
Let's save it.
I love it. We got there's something. We got Workout Buddy and Wrist Flick and TV Karaoke. We got some wackadoo stuff that we will continue and talk about next week. And by the way, for the folks out there, we are putting a conversation list together for upcoming episodes. And I am excited because I think there's some really interesting things on it. Mostly the iced coffee update. Maybe I should talk about this super briefly before we hang up, because it was our last episode, Colby. You revealed your interesting coffee opinion, your Dunkin' opinion, which is that liquid sugar is bad, granular sugar is good.
It's not liquid, liquid sugar is fine, but granular sugar is better.
But specifically because you like to get the sip at the bottom and get the intake of a bunch of sugar, which is that fair to say?
Yeah, I just like that little bump right at the beginning of your coffee, and then you're on to like a regular no sugar coffee.
Yeah, and so I've dubbed this Colby's Sweet Sip, and I said in the episode, I said, I'm going to conduct an informal poll of everyone I talk to. I'm going to share the story and get their opinion. I think it's crazy. You think it's a nice treat. Colby, I have to tell you, I spoke with somewhere between 8 and 10 people. Told them the full story of what you explained. I think I was very fair about it. Didn't bias it in any way. And the results are in. With a staggering 100% poll, people think you're crazy. Every single person I talked to said, that's the idea that you would purposefully get sugar to then suck up the sugar. And by the way, I would say a majority of those said they hate that time when they take a sip and they haven't stirred it properly and get the sugar. So
who were those people and where they live?
It's the word of well, I will say they're Massachusetts natives, so they know their way around a Dunkin' Donuts.
Western Mass, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's so close to New York.
I mean, it's basically Connecticut.
I like know that there are other people out there who agree with me. Like I know I'm not the only person.
Is there
who
a
feels
Reddit
this way.
Forum for this or something?
There like... probably is, but I truly can't remember who, which is killing me. There's gotta be at least one person who we both know who also feels this way. But
man, but we're gonna have to write a letter to the Dunkin' Donuts people. And see if we, you know, because they do like the drink collabs where it's like, you know, the Sabrina Carpenter shaking espresso and the ice spice drink. I want the Colby Sweet Sip.
Well, Sean, don't you think like if everyone hated this, they wouldn't do it that way? Like if no one liked the experience, like they would just.
Are you saying
liquid
a corporation
sugar.
Would do something that sucks because they don't care about their customers? That's crazy. No, they just don't stir the sugar.
But it's like the Dunkin' in New York in Poughkeepsie, like they would do liquid sugar by default. This is what I mean.
Yes, because like, it's a new innovative technology that takes away the pain of a sweet set.
The pain is what it's for. If it's not hard, you know, what's the point?
That's true. It's all about the struggle. Right. Listen, Colby, the things that make you great are the unique things. I love the sweet sip. It made a very funny anecdote for my friends and family and colleagues. But I promised I would report back. Unfortunately, you did not win the race.
That's right.
But
Now,
by the way, people said they didn't mind granular sugar. It was the idea that you would purposefully take a sip of a bunch of sugar at the beginning of your drink. But again, I've never tried it. So maybe I need to get a nice coffee with granular sugar. Tell them specifically not to stir it.
I mean, you don't usually get granular sugar, right? Like
I haven't in quite a while.
I don't know. Like you don't ask them not to stir it. Like it just like doesn't all dissolve. Like
it just
it's just
hangs
the way
out down
it's
there.
Just the way
all
it right. goes. You know, they do their like they have the spoon and they like you know like get the cream in, but like there's gonna be some sugar at the bottom.
I'm gonna order 20 sugars.
Yeah,
it's all gonna be
20 sugar. See, I just like a little bit. Like I get one sugar in all. You know. Any size of coffee,
and you get your sweet sip, and then you're done.
Right. It's like, I don't need the coffee to be sweet. I just like the little treat at the beginning.
So, have you been to a Texas Roadhouse?
No.
Restaurant? Honestly, for chain restaurants, it's not the worst. It's not great, but it's not the worst. You could do a lot worse. But they when they do a margarita there, you can get it with a tequila shooter, which is they take your margarita, then they take like a little plastic test tube. And they fill it with pure tequila, and then they put it in. And then the thing is, you take it out, and you pour it in, and it's like a more alcoholic drink. I think the Colby Sugar Shooter it's a little thing of sugar,
right?
And you pop it back, and then drink your coffee.
It could be good.
Listen, we can
experiment with the format. I don't know. You know, I just like
Duncan, call us.
Right. I didn't design the system. I'm just like thriving in it. But.
Everything's coming up, Colby. This is great. See, these are the kind of thrilling conversation you'll get if you come back to the show every week. Don't panic. Make sure you go to the website, don'tpanic.io. All the episodes are there. Audio and video going all the way back. Every single episode is somehow still available, so you can go all the way back. Of course, subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Look for that red button. And, of course, for the video version on YouTube to see our fantastic faces. Of course, you can email us, don'tpanicshow@gmail.com. And you can watch the show live whenever we do it on our Twitch channel. Make sure you subscribe, so follow, so you get an alert when we go live. But that's going to wrap it up here. Another WWDC in the books until next week when we do the other half. But for now, we're done. On behalf of Colby, I'm Sean. We appreciate you being here. We're going to see you next time for another great episode of Don't Panic.
This has been a Coffee and Beer production, executive produced by Dan Miller, Colby Rabideau, and Sean Jennings. To learn more, visit coffeeandbeer.tv.